Many real estate agents across Australia confidently refer Property Insurance Plus to their clients as they recognise the price and benefit value of their policy combined with the client-focused service they deliver. They offer a comprehensive building and landlord insurance facility and have formed a powerhouse to present the very best in investment property insurance. Contact PIP today to find out more.
So today I'm delighted to have Alicia McCullough from Aquasun Estate Agents join us. Alicia, welcome.
Thank you.
I haven't had you on the podcast before, have I?
No, I've been hiding.
Excellent, excellent. I've had lots of newbies come up and it's I didn't actually check with you first, but quite often when I'm doing them, there's two types of people, and I share this in case there's anyone listening that wants to come on it, but there's two types of people in the world. There's the one that likes the script, the questions that I'm going to ask, and, you know, needs to think it out. And then there's the other person, which there's no prep, don't even know what we're going to talk about, and I just throw you in the deep end, and that's my style, and you haven't complained yet, so I hope that's okay.
I prefer that as well. If I know beforehand, I'll just overthink it and panic, whereas if it's just freehand, it's just you go with the flow.
It's so much easier. And I know that, like, when I do video content, I'm fine. And you're, I know that you're the same, and we're going to get into TikTok and video in a minute. But if I'm holding the camera and I'm just talking about whatever, totally fine. But stick a camera person in front of me with a list of questions and I freak out, I feel nauseous.
Yeah, most commonly, as I said, you'll get into it, is my first take on a video, that's it, you just do it. If I think about it, it fails.
Exactly, and that's exactly the advice I gave someone the other day when we were talking about video, and I said to her, one of the secrets is actually not watching it back, just tidying up the front, tidying up the back. The minute you have to start watching it, you're going to start looking at yourself a bit differently, thinking that you need to change something. It's easy just not to look back on it. So that's today's tip.
And that's the advice I have taken very strongly, because I think if I looked back on them, I would not be happy. So I just take it, upload it, and it's done.
Yeah, absolutely. So now because there's a few people that haven't heard of you before, you're based in Perth. And if you can share a little bit about yourself, your career, and what you're up to now and what you've been doing before.
Yeah, so I've been in property management, well, in real estate since I was 17. I kind of fell into it by accident because I had to leave school for some medical reasons, and I didn't want to work in fast food because I didn't. And then a receptionist job came up in a real estate, and it was, applied, got it, and then just kind of moved my way up to be a junior PM for about a week. And then I got given a full portfolio. So that was a little intense. But I'm very a sink or swim person. So that was great. And then, just worked up, been in a lot of different roles, a lot of different sized agencies. And it's been good. I did my diploma of real estate, which was good. I think everyone should have that. I think it's great. But now I am in a small business in Golden Bay, which is nestled between Rockingham and Mandurah, starting up the property management department with their team. And that's where I am today.
And home life, you've got three kids?
Oh, yes. Yeah, I've got three children, ranging from 9 to 1. So it's a little bit crazy.
And do you work from home, or do the kids, are they in daycare, the little ones, or how do you work with them?
I've got two in school and one in daycare, so that works really well.
And obviously we've got school holidays at the moment. So people that are listening can't see the video where there's two people around, and it's totally fine. So I've actually already gone around, or my partner's gone around and given the household a quick lesson on being quiet the next half an hour. So we're all experiencing it. It's totally fine. The the position where you're at now, what I met you at one of the coffee and conversations down in Warnborough that we did. And it's one of the ones that I remember, because what I loved about it is there was a group of us, probably about like five or seven, and they were all startup businesses, all doing BDM in the area. And it was such a fabulous catch-up, wasn't it, when we had...
It was great.
It was so good. And everyone was exactly in the same position, potentially competitors, actually very much so competitors. But it was really nice just to share, you know, how everyone's experiencing the role and, you know, any good points and any struggles that they're having. So that was when I first met you. With AquaSun, obviously that's a new, was it a new company or was it an old company, just didn't have the property management department?
So it's a well-established company. Quite a few years ago they did property management, and then they kind of sold off their small department and just ran sales for many years. And then they wanted to bring on property management. So yeah, it's really handy being very established in the area. It makes a bit of a difference.
Yeah, absolutely. So someone who is in the same position where they have been invited to head up a property management department, there's a sales team. Granted, it's probably a smaller sales team you've got, isn't it? Yeah, a couple of people in there. So you've been invited to set up the property management department. So you're starting with a clean slate. What was your first go-to when it came to trying to generate leads? Like, what was the first thing you started doing in the business?
Picking up the phone, talking to clients, playing off the already established grounds that the owner has and the sales team, which was really good. And it was just word of mouth, community talking to people. We've got like a cafe down the in our shopping center, meeting people there. A lot of social media is probably a big one, and I try, not perfect at it, but I try and make contact with everyone who inquires on the sales properties who it's an investment potential. So any property I do like a rental appraisal on, so the sales team are ready to go straight ahead if it's an investor, and just trying to be the forefront in everybody's mind, you know, screaming that we now do property management is probably the biggest one.
So if I can just get into the nitty-gritty of it just a little bit more with those phone calls, and actually I've never asked anyone this, but the phone calls that you make to the database, so you've just started up, you're calling those people, they're very cold leads. What sort of conversations are you calling them up? Like, how are you doing it? Hi, I'm Alicia, just letting you know we're now doing property management, or what does that sound like?
It was more from a whole agency perspective, just touching base with them, seeing how we can help them, whether that was a sales lead or a property management, or did they just need an updated appraisal because the market's changed, or things like that. We do get a few, like the owner did have a good rapport in the industry, in the location. So that definitely makes a difference. And a lot of the, some of them have also just come across because they know me in the industry. And wanting to come back to that. So it's just the phone calls are probably coming from a place of trying to help people, not trying to get the business, doing that kind of opposite. I find if you're trying to just get the business on every phone call, it does the opposite effect. Whereas if you're trying to help people, it's a backwards way of asking for the business, if that makes sense.
And that goes exactly into the same method of social media. Like, you shouldn't really be asking for business on social media posts. You're there to educate, and then in that roundabout way you'll get business because you've helped them.
Definitely. And I've heard that on your content before, and it's, and you know, a lot of people's content, and that's something that I'm really trying to build up and do, like on TikTok and socials. I'm trying to be more informative than getting the business, but as you said, you definitely get the business as a roundabout way of doing it, which I think is better. It's much, and I'm sure it was your content where it was like, you're not, people don't ask for discounts when they're coming to you. So they've already made their decision. They know that they want to be with you because you've put out the information of why they should. And then, yeah, it's a much easier process for the whole way around. I find if you're going out just seeking appraisals and just wanting business, they're the ones who will ask for discounts because they haven't got that established rapport or understanding.
Yeah, and I've also heard the same thing about like Google and people that search you and find you on Google, that those people are more inclined to be asking discounts because it's still technically a cold lead. And they're only just going by whatever they can, you know, whatever they find using SEO, as opposed to finding you through that warm, educated lead, getting to know you, seeing posts regularly, and then approaching you. There's a big difference in it. So there's a guy called, and don't quote me on this, but there's a guy called Jason Hull over in the US who runs a podcast actually and a consulting business called DoorGrow. And he actually talks, I think, about that Google and how, you know, a lot of people spend a lot of money on Google, but it's actually probably a bit of a waste because they're the ones that are going to be asking for the discount. So spending money on the socials, I would say, is probably better spent for the better quality client that you're looking for. So it's just something for people to consider. So
definitely with the Google, sorry, I will just say we are, what we've been editing our profile on Google and putting updates on our Google profile, because then when people are Googling, how many times can we say that, they're already getting good information instead of just having a blank standard profile. And it's great your reviews go on there and things like that, but actually having information. And I didn't actually know you could change your profile and add information and add videos and add all of that. So that was quite good for those clients that are Googling.
Oh, absolutely. So what Alicia's talking about is the My Business, where if you don't have a My Business profile, go and grab your profile. I think you just have to go and confirm the ownership of it. And you just are putting posts, like you said, as you would social media, but it's updating that. And they also say things like updating your blogs on your website. Just that little tiny change is important. The Google reviews as well, obviously that's still activity, but there's some free things that you can do that increase your profile, because you don't, not that I'm giving advice on this, but personally I wouldn't spend money on on Google, not at the moment anyway. There's lots of other free options we can do. So
we have spent a little bit of money on Google. Really good. When we were spending it, we were getting a lot more leads and phone calls for our sales and rentals, but we haven't spent a lot, I must admit. But it definitely did make a difference to the number of inquiries coming in on the phone. Yeah. Whether the conversion's there or not, it was just, I guess, building that presence was good for that time period.
Yeah, no, and it's like at the start when you're a startup, you sort of want to try and exhaust all your options as well and see what's going to stick and what's not. So going into obviously the cold calls and the helping the sales being the first two things that would keep someone busy who is starting up the property management department. Now that you are becoming more established, and obviously we're very fortunate in Perth to have a really great rental market, so it's made, I would assume it's made things a little bit easier on that side. Are there any things that, like, are you still making those cold calls, or have you found that now that you're established, you've taken a step back from that and worked on another lead generation idea?
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Today's wonderful sponsor is Property Assist WA. Shannon and her team are really committed to assisting property managers' workload by assisting them with outsourcing services like routine inspections, final bond inspections, and property condition reports. Keep your property managers doing what they love and outsource the things they don't to a company that thrives on positive feedback and guarantees a premium personalized service with a smile. The vision of Property Assist WA is to make a difference to the quality and perception of property managers, enabling you to keep your clients happy whilst improving the efficiency of your staff.
I probably have stepped back a little bit because we're also in the process of changing software, which is...
Where are you going? What are you going from? Where are you not allowed to stay?
Not yet.
Okay.
Because we're still finalising it, but the software we're with, they don't do reports, which we didn't realize, but that whole nother ballgame. So I have to manually extract everything. So that's taking up a fair bit of time. But really, it's just I'm focusing a lot on social media and in the probably more the background and just setting up foundations and our digital presence. We're wanting streamlined templates and things like that, just to have that different level. And just, I get a lot from word of mouth and just servicing, because I'm a big believer, and I know some property managers may not be this, but to service your tenants as well as your owners. Like, your tenants are such a high part. I've called it like a circle, and we're part of that circle. And if you move, if you lose a section, whether you lose the owners, the agent, or the tenant and the contractors, it's not harmonious. And so by having that, like, for example, when we have a new tenant, I'll meet them at the house to give them the keys and the handover. And like when we sign up a new property, I'll go with the photographer to get the photos taken. And just those little things is where we get a lot of word of mouth from those extra actions. But I'm very aware that I'm only able to do that because we are a small startup, because I've been on the other end where we've never done that. So it's just different.
Yeah, I call it a love triangle. So it's a love triangle, yeah, between the
owner
and the property manager. And yeah, they're all important. The that's interesting with the you know, meeting at the property. And I know a lot of people do that at the moment, and I would love to do it as well, and but it's not as possible, I guess, when the portfolio is going to be bigger. But I remember someone telling me how they would treat it like they would going to, for example, a really nice hotel, where you meet them with the keys, and then you actually go through the property and you show them how to work the aircon, you make sure the hot water's working, you go through and point out maybe anything that they should know with the retic or something like that. And I mean, in theory, it sounds like, for me, I think that's such a wonderful idea, and I would love to do that. And I'm sure there's people doing that already, but unfortunately, it's not always feasible. But it's a service if you are able to do that, I think.
Yeah, that's what we do. When we can, there has been times when it's just not possible, but we ideally do. And what I really liked about it was, like, we had a tenant that straight away knew, I want to put a TV here, I want to do this and that, and I could just email the owner straight away or speak to the owner, just get that approval, just to set everything up for success. But yeah, definitely not feasible for all.
No.
And particularly if you have a big area that you service, it just wouldn't be optional.
No, I would love to, though, like, I'm just thinking out loud now, but how amazing would it be to be an agency where you could actually pay, like, have a staff member full time where that was their job, like, and you know, if the numbers could work, that was their job, they did all of those meetups. Like, that would be pretty awesome as, like, a tenant concierge. So maybe something
that
to
would be.
Add into the budget.
Why not?
So can
you could almost give it to like, if you had an inspection agent or someone, because they're out and about, so they could, you know, possibly, you know, start their day at that property and then do their inspections.
Yeah, absolutely, something to think about. Now, I'm asking nitty gritty questions because I just want to go from, you know, I don't want to be too surface level. So I just want to quickly get into the actual social media. Are you at the moment then doing the social media under the company name, or have you got personal pages that you're using to leverage new listings? What does that look like for you?
Both. So I've always had, I haven't been too consistent with it, but I've also always had a personal work Facebook page and my personal page. And I've always kept that because it's just to me, not as formal content, and not as, just not as formal. Whereas our work content is typically pretty more formal, although we're trying to, we're getting advice on changing that. And then my TikTok is mine. We don't have a company TikTok yet. Yeah, because typically it's just me talking. So
yeah, I think one TikTok account's enough for anybody.
Yeah, definitely.
Definitely don't
more
do
than enough.
That. So okay, so and then we've got Facebook and Instagram, where there's the AquaSun business page, plus potentially an Alicia McCulloch business page, and then you've got your personal. Is that?
Yes.
And do you find that's feasible? Do you have any intentions of reducing that, or are you happy with it the way it is?
I was looking to consolidate and not have, because I know that you don't have a work and personal Facebook page, whereas I just don't know how I feel about having my profile on too public with my kids. I don't know how I feel about that. So I like having that separate, and I also don't want to overrun my friends and family with real estate stuff. So at the moment I'm happy with it separate, but who knows what the future will bring.
Yeah. An example of someone who does it quite good is, do you follow Kinsley from OCD?
No, I don't.
Oh, don't Kinsley. Oh, so Kinsley is the Inspection Express WA rep. And she's always, so she's got her Instagram, which is personal and professional. And I quite like following her because it is quite personal, but you just get to know people better, I guess. So for me, The reason having just one is there's an element of laziness, so an element of only just wanting to manage one and not two. But I don't think I overload anyone with business stuff on my Facebook page. No one said anything, but everyone probably would keep their mouths shut anyway. But it's probably just more convenience. And I guess my only advice would be is that if you can keep up the two pages consistently, fine. But if you're ever struggling, or if someone out there listening struggles to manage both consistently and one is dying, you know, one is only getting random posts every month or so versus the other, then maybe just start combining them, just because you don't want to have a page if it's inconsistent. You might as well not have one. That's my only opinion on that.
Definitely. And that's what I have struggled with a bit. But I've said this year, so 2024, if I'm not consistent with it, then I won't do it. Like, this is my, you're either doing it or you're not.
Yeah, absolutely. And let's touch into TikTok, because I've been watching you lately and I'm enjoying watching you. You also have the balls just to say stuff on it and not worry about the feedback, which I love, because people play it safe, I think, on there a bit too much.
Yeah. They definitely do, but I feel like if you're playing it safe, you're not actually helping anyone. And I'm meaning tenants and owners, or, you know, anyone. So I just say it how it is and just do it.
Can you share the video that you did on TikTok about the lady that came in?
Oh, yeah. So I was doing a home open, and we had probably maybe 20 groups through, because I capped it because I can't handle that. Anyways, and she came through with her sister, and she had her young daughter, which was great. But she came in with a can of alcohol, which was a little bit off-putting. And then her sister came in her pajamas. Now, that I keep saying that's fine in the video, and I got hammered for that, because I'm not here to judge people. I'm not here to judge people's, to judge people's living and how they choose to present themselves. But she specifically asked me, what can she do to help herself to get a property? Now, I didn't tell her this, and I really think I should have, so I do feel kind of bad about that. But perhaps wearing just any clothes and not a can of alcohol. The real issue was the can of alcohol. I just feel like that portrays not someone who I would like to put into a rental property. If you can't put that, leave it in the car for 5 minutes. It's just ridiculous. Sorry. But yeah, I got a little bit hammered on it, of people, of all kinds of comments. But I also then haven't had to defend the comments, because then other people are jumping on saying, that's great, that's exactly who I would want to be managing my property. You know, if they can't be bothered, you know, to not drink, then it just sets up the standards. So yeah.
You have to put the video on, and like exactly what you said, you've got to let people fight it out between themselves in the comment. You don't really need to jump in too much, because people do that for you, and it actually helps the algorithm as well. So it's always good when people start having, you know, commenting and having an opinion back. It's a good thing for your profile.
I remember when I first got TikTok and I got like 1,000 views, and I was like, oh my gosh, and just laughing, because I just I did it as a bit of a laugh, to be completely honest. But now I am finding I'm getting more serious into it because people are asking for advice. They're needing assistance on what they what they can do for getting rental properties and just helping people because, yeah, I think everybody needs advice. And I didn't realize you can get private messages on TikTok and things like that. So I've had a lot of tenants message asking, you know, how can I help them? And they will never be a client of mine. They could be anywhere in the world. I know that they won't be, but I'm still, the housing market is so horrific right now that if I can just help anyone get a property or just anything, then it makes me feel a bit better.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, it just goes to show it's very much an education platform. I mean, everything is, but it's all education. And the alcohol thing was an interesting one, I thought, and even I was sort of educated on it from, having a think about how I would feel because someone had put on there something, I think, that it might have been like a zero, like a non-alcoholic beer. Let's use that, for example, a non-alcoholic beer.
Yes.
And then it's like, well, is that still appropriate or not appropriate? And, I mean, I think you said this, it's still perception. I still personally, I think it's inappropriate to be walking around with a non-alcoholic beer just as much as I've had this discussion with my kids. It's inappropriate for my children to be walking around with a non-alcoholic beer because even if it is non-alcoholic, it's still a non-alcoholic beer.
Oh, definitely. When someone commented that, I panicked. I'm not going to lie because, okay, so it was a Billson or whatever it was. So it could have been the non-alcoholic one. So I was going to delete the video because I was like, oh my gosh, how judgmental of me. And then I went, no, because it's the perception.
Yes.
So it was perceived like that. Would I let my child walk around with that? Would I let them drink that? No, it's not acceptable. And someone commented saying, you know, if the market was the other way around, you know, you would be happy with that tenant basically. And I put on there, and I think you commented as well, like, no, because it's still the perception and it's not someone who we would want to put in the properties. And what I commonly say to my clients when we're doing new business meetings is, I don't want the headache. You don't want the headache. We don't want the headache. So it's just, it's not worth it.
No, that's right. And wasn't there a funny one the other day as well? And I had commented on it and he was like, you're just having a power play. You're not a messenger. And I was like, that's exactly what I am, a messenger. That's it.
Yeah, I loved that because I always say that. I said, I am just the messenger. I pass messages on all day because that's all we do.
That's right.
If we go to the basic of what we do, it's a messenger.
That's right. You're right, mate. That's exactly.
Yeah. I know. I'm not gonna argue. But yeah, but with TikTok, I definitely don't rewatch the videos. And I don't, like, on that video, I looked not great. My hair was so messy. I was just tired. We've been running around all day. I think it was in part of the heat wave. And I just did it because if you don't just do it and if you have everything perfect all the time, I feel like it's not authentic.
Yeah.
So I just did it.
Well done. Well, you're doing very well with it. My last question for you is goal setting for new business. How do you do that when you don't have a history of the leads? And I'm bringing that up because I was speaking to Beck Holton the other day on an episode, and she's got very strong goals. And her goals are based on what she is expecting, and she will buy portfolio, she'll do whatever in her power to get to that goal, where I realized that I was setting my goals based on my previous 12 months and playing it maybe a little bit safe to say, you know, well, this is how many leads I bring in, this is how many new managements, but they're not really fantastic goals. They're just based on the previous 12 months. So how would you, and if you don't, just say that you don't, but how would you set goals for a startup when you haven't had any history and you don't want to set yourself up for, you know what I mean, for disappointment either?
A barrier, yeah.
Do you set goals and how do you do that?
I probably set internal goals. You know, that I just think, oh, it'd be great to get to this number. We as a business don't have goals, but it's something we have been talking about because I'm a very goal-orientated person. And if I get given a target, and if there's a reward for the target, that's even better. But if you get a target, I will just go for it. So I really do want to set goals. For a startup, I think it would be great to have a number that would be great if you achieved, although we as a business are not set on numbers. We don't want just any properties. We do, I don't know, everybody says that at the beginning. We are pretty particular to a degree. So, and that's what's great about where I am with the business is I've got full authority to not take on a management. You know, previous roles where I've been, it's definitely a numbers game, whereas you take on everything because it's a numbers game. And we're not that, which is great. So it's a little bit different. But yeah, we don't have goals exactly, but definitely probably more, ours would be more along the lines of customer satisfaction, number of leasing days, something that we can kind of control more. But I think goals are good. Everyone should have something.
Yeah, I think you're lucky to be in an office where they're happy for you to be a bit more selective, because I would actually say it's the opposite, that with startups, and I fall into this category where it's like take everything at the start while you're building and then party it up after that. But it's obviously a lot cleaner and probably a lot better to do it your way as well. But it takes a lot of willpower as a business owner to say no to business. I find it really difficult, but maybe I'm the minority.
Yeah, no, I do agree. I think it's not a numbers game, which is really good, because whilst we want numbers and we want to get new management and things like that, I think my business owner just doesn't want the headache of problems. So we're just trying to minimise that. Within reason, we do a lot of, like, there was one property we took on for 2 weeks because it sold. It sold with another agency, and they just said, we won't be managing it. You're only going to own it for 2 weeks and then move in. And they just said no. And this poor elderly owner was just panicking, bawling, like. And then my business owner's like, take it on. I don't think we actually made anything out of it by the time you actually factor it in. But it's just that goodwill, doing the right thing, really, in those circumstances. But then you get the good word of mouth from that. So it's kind of that, you know, well, we've got the time to do it. Why not?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think, yeah, when you go to set your goals, and you, because you said it's not a numbers game, you guys might just be better off setting a financial goal, whether it's the value of the business or whether it's, you know, this type of revenue each month. And then, and that's the way every business should be setting goals, because that's what's actually important, not the number of properties on a portfolio. So, I find it extremely hard. It's so old school to do it the other way, but I think your business owner, probably that's where I would be setting it anyway. So at least you've got something to work towards as well.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, what works for you might work for someone else, or, you know, everyone has different things that what work for them, is what I'm trying to say. So
absolutely. Yeah. So if you were to take one marketing method that you're doing for a new startup, if you could only choose one thing that you're doing and continue doing it for leads, what would it be?
Speak to everyone and everything, whether that's phone calls, that kind of encompasses everything. Social media, just word of mouth, just get it known that you're here, that you're knowledgeable, that you're here to help. Basically scream it from the rooftops. Otherwise people don't know.
Yeah, absolutely. Alicia, it's lovely catching up with you again. I look forward to seeing you hopefully at the next Coffee and Conversations down in Rockingham. So I will be down there. For those that haven't been to one or haven't heard about them, jump onto our Facebook page, PM Collective, and under the events you'll see all the catch-ups. There is a lots of coffee catch-ups. There are some wine catch-ups. There's some dinners, and they are hosted all around Australia. So everyone is welcome, and they're really casual, so I stress that they're super casual. Just RSVP, turn up, grab your coffee and come join everyone at the table. They're really nice to connect with the industry and learn things, and talking about things, exactly what we've talked about today. They're just the conversations that we literally have in person with each other. So they're always helpful, and this episode will be very helpful for those startups or someone who's starting a department where you just don't know where to start, but you've got to start somewhere. Alicia is a great person to follow on TikTok, particularly, and social media, to see what she's doing and how she is generating leads socially. So Alicia, thank you for your time in school holidays. I appreciate it, and I will see you soon.
OnTap Plumbing and Gas covers all Perth areas from Mandurah to Turocks and has a team of plumbing, drainage and hot water experts. They have an amazing reputation for their excellent service and quality workmanship on time, every time, and it is easy to see why they are a favourite to many Perth property managers. Whether you just need some friendly advice or an obligation-free quote, look no further than OnTap Plumbing and Gas.